Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world! Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS News.
The far northwestern city of Mildura is used to hot summers, but in January, the city and surrounds sweltered through an unusual heatwave, with temperatures breaking records throughout the region. SBS's Deborah Gork spoke with the mayor of Mildura, Ali Cupper, on how the council deals with hot weather and its concerns around how worsening climate change patterns might affect its residents and agricultural economy.
How's it been going? Like, how's everyone been coping?
Yeah, we're coping well. You know, we're well adapted to heat in Mildura. So for the most part, the heat wave has been fairly standard. The thing that was out of the ordinary was the temperature. I think it was on Tuesday, was it? Or Wednesday, where we got to like the record-breaking temperature. So I think the official temperature recorded as in the high point temperature recorded was 48.9, and temperatures of course recorded, you know, like in the shade, so people's cars were showing, you know, 50 degrees. It was really hot, and that's hot even for us, so that was kind of the atypical thing, I guess. And we just made sure that, you know, we advise people to heed the health warnings, obviously follow all of the fire restriction advice. We've had bushfires here, you know, in our municipality in the last few weeks, so that was super important. And also, encouraging people to, you know, put water out for wildlife, for example, you know, just to really help things survive, because that level of heat is, you know, it's in a different realm. It's like a furnace. It's like you can feel your skin burning if you're in the direct sun. It's a health hazard.
So in terms of the advice that you've been giving to residents, we're talking about quite a wide spread, aren't we? Because Mildura Rural City Council, it's a very big region.
Yeah, that's right, and it covers a tenth of the state, so more than 22,000 square kilometres. A lot of that is national park, but we have big distances between townships. So, to drive to the southernmost point of our municipality from Mildura will take you 2.5 hours. So it's a long way, and so therefore we are, you know, having to provide support to a very wide range of people in our communities. Things like the pools, the public pools, you know, we're open for extended hours. We have pools right across the municipality. The libraries were open for longer hours. In Mildura, we had the sporting precinct open for longer hours for people who needed to get respite from the heat, up until about 5 years ago. So it was in the last term of Parliament. We didn't have air conditioning in public housing as of right, fortunately, given that temperatures are certainly continuing to rise, that has been addressed. So our public housing tenants now have air conditioning at a much higher rate than they did previously, which is important, obviously. You know, prior to that, you know, we were having, stories about children having to, you know, have a sleep during the day in a sick bay at school because they weren't able to sleep the night before because it was so hot. So we are fairly well adapted in this community. The worst summer I ever had was actually not in Mildura. It was in Daylesford, where my grandparents lived, because it wasn't as hot as it was in Mildura, but they had no aircon. So I was kind of I was struggling more than they were with the heat, because in our part of the world, you know, we are so well adapted.
I guess one of the big concerns, though, is that, because everyone's using their sprinklers, everyone's got the aircon running, assuming most people have got it. And I guess there would be a concern about potentially like electricity overloading. Is that a concern for the council?
Yeah, well, that hasn't come up. Back in 2019, we had power shedding, and that was, the strategic shutting down of certain grids to be able to maintain those critical, power supplies to like the hospital, for example. That hasn't been a problem or a thing since then that I can recall anyway. And certainly there was no word of that that I received in the last heat wave, as in this current heat wave. So, it might be that, there's been, further, technology or infrastructure upgrades by the Victorian government. You have to check with them because, or the feds, because they'd be able to provide more information. We don't actually control the power grids as council. That's not our remit. But yeah, there was no talk of that as far as I know. And our power wasn't shut off, certainly, again, as far as I know.
Hit the road this summer with SBS. My Australian Mafia Road Trip takes you from Melbourne to Ledura to uncover Australia's mafia secrets. Or set sail with Fallout, spies on Norfolk Island, and dive into an international spy scandal to track down the agents that got away. Buckle up and let SBS Audio be your companion for a summer full of mystery and adventure. Listen now on the SBS Audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I get a real sense when I'm speaking to people of how resilient residents are. I mean, it's kind of par for the course. Like it's summer and it can get hot and everyone just kind of adapts and gets on with it.
Well, what's the alternative? To not? I mean, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we adapt. And of course, we've had, I mean, there's been human inhabitants of this region for, many tens of thousands of years, and then even like since colonization, for generations, there was no air conditioning. And it's always been hot. So, yeah, humans are pretty adaptive. And this is a good example of that. Though, like I said, we have the benefit of a host of modern conveniences, which really do provide a lot of protection.
I guess in a way, though, it's kind of an advantage for some of the agricultural industries for it to be so hot because it's perfect weather for growing certain crops.
Yeah, but the crops are quite sensitive, so it depends on exactly when. Certainly with wheat, the heat at the moment doesn't matter because the harvest has already happened. In terms of grapes, heat is good. Like dry heat is okay. I mean, especially if you're drying fruit. Humidity is a problem, if we've got sort of humid type heat, because that can sort of, create outbreaks of disease. Everything has an optimal range though, and if things get too hot, then there can be an adverse impact on the fruit. So yeah, I mean, it's we only grow things that are good in hot weather because it's a hot climate. So that's true. But one of the, I guess, the other sides of it is that, if the heat starts to correlate with drought, and if that has an impact on water supply, then it's not good for the crops, because certainly one of the things in order to keep the actual permanent plantings alive, when there's extreme heat, you need a lot of water. and what can happen if the heat correlates with a drought and water is scarce and permanent allocations are low and temporary water prices shoot up, then you can have kind of a perfect storm of challenging factors for our farmers, especially our family farmers. The big corporates have usually got a little bit more of a buffer and they've got more money there to ride those challenges. But everything in moderation, I guess. You know, the crops we plant are heat hardy, but you know, we don't want to get too cocky about that because there is a downside to extremes.
In terms of general, you know, climate change issues down the road, is climate change something that the council worries about in the short and long term?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, we follow the science, and the science is pretty clear. And you know, you talk to people who have been farming the land for a very long time, and they will say, you know, it's different to what it was when they were kids. There can be a reluctance to, in some quarters, to accept climate science and to accept the realities. You know, I've always said that, you know, we need to be really honest with ourselves about those realities and those risks. You know, we are a part of the world that has extreme temperatures at baseline, or you know, high temperatures at baseline, and so we're in the eye of the storm in many ways. You know, they talk about climate moving south, which means that, you know, if we increasingly kind of have the climate of Wilcannia, you know, that Western New South Wales desert, it's going to be much harder to grow what we grow, and our economy is fundamentally based on primary production and horticulture. I know that you know, there's been the efforts to provide education, but to provide it in a way that doesn't sort of descend into polarized debates. You know, rather than talking about climate change and adaptation to climate change, talking about big weather. It's a phrase that I've heard sort of thrown about locally, so that we can at least try to have a talk about adapting to what is a changing environment, without it becoming a fight or without people becoming too defensive.
One final question is just around the multicultural community of the Mildura region. There's 79 separate nationalities represented in the community, which is amazing. In terms of the messaging, it's safe messaging and this sort of thing, how does the council approach that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we provide, you know, public information on our website. The website can be translated into a wide variety of languages. So, you know, messages about, you know, being cautious in the heat that are on our website can be read in other languages. We have some fairly strong outreach within our healthy communities team, you know, which are very well connected with the multicultural community. We also have agencies that we work closely with, like Sunraysia and Mallee Ethnic Communities Council with AIMS. They also have a presence here to help share information and help that information get to the families that need it. One of the things that we have been very conscious of too is getting information about the dangers of the river to new arrivals and to people who might be here on you know, work visas, or you know, where you know, when it gets really, really hot, the river can be like a magnet almost, you know, for people to go and get some respite from the heat. But unless you've lived here for a while, the river can be quite deceptive. It looks a lot safer than it is. For example, you know, you can be wading in water that's only kind of ankle deep, and suddenly it will drop away, and you'll be in over your head, you know, and that if someone can't swim, then they panic. If they're a child, you know, that's obviously the risks are compounded. And in addition to that too, just when you're standing on one bank, it can look pretty straightforward to swim across, but often it's not until you're halfway across that you realise how wide it is at Mildura. So, yeah, those sorts of things too. We've had very tragically over time some drownings and of people who are you know, who are new arrivals and who are recent immigrants or refugees. And so we really make a point of providing that education.